Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we had a great roundtable a little earlier this afternoon. You can always use the rewind function with the Odyssey app. Go back to the 3 o'clock hour. We had Gene Duker, of course, on the panel. Greg Keller, Republican consultant with Atlas Strategy Group, and Jeff Rainford, who is on the D side. We covered a variety of topics, including, you know, the continued protests and some of the things, you know, some of this is really taking off now in Atlanta. Our friend Phil Holloway, who is a Fox News analyst, also on this show all the time, had been tweeting some stuff. I will say this, and, you know, I've been on Twitter for a long time. I was a rather early adopter to Twitter, and I've rather enjoyed it over the years, even though they changed the name and it's X. And I follow, you know, and get a lot of stuff for the show. I follow quite a few people. But, you know, when you're a public figure and you're on the radio, especially a conservative, you take a lot of heat as well, which has never been a problem. But the level, the degree of which the anti-Semitism on my feed is coming through right now, just based on a few of my tweets, it's really shocking. It really is. And these are typically, I mute these people, and it's typically someone who has zero followers, somewhat anonymous, who doesn't want anyone to know who they are, zero followers, and they follow like 150 people or something like that. And they come in with some of the most vile comments that you wouldn't even believe. And that's what we're seeing on the campuses of the colleges right now. They have delayed or canceled graduations at many of the institutions, including USC. I mentioned this during the roundtable that my friend John Ziegler, of course, who's out in California, retweeted something today. And I did the same thing from a USC student who had her high school graduation robbed from her because of COVID and all the lockdowns, and now can't go through graduation at USC because of all the nonsense there. And then I mentioned Phil. I put this up on the X a little while ago, and this was from yesterday, and I think it's even worse today. Emory University in Atlanta, the cops trying to hold out the protesters. Now, these aren't people that are just holding signs and peacefully protesting. They're literally trying to shove their way into a building, and they're, you know, causing safety hazards for the officers. And these officers are having vile things shouted at them back and forth, and just trying to keep things safe when they're being overrun by pro-terrorists, right? So then you have AOC out there saying, oh, this is all peaceful.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Yeah, they're not very peaceful, and here's what's happening at Columbia right now. Here's their demands.
The precedent set by Columbia has resulted in a wave of police brutality at several campuses nationwide. We are calling upon Columbia University to divest, disclose, and provide amnesty for all students and faculty disciplined in the movement for Palestinian liberation. Those are our central demands, and until those are met, we will not be going anywhere.
Yeah, they say they're just going to stay there. And by the way, even the White House has finally come in and condemned some of this because of the language. You have the NYPD Chief of Patrol on Twitter, which is at NYPD Chief Patrol, saying the pure hate and anti-Semitism and overall vile language I have witnessed recently is simply disgusting. I cannot begin to even know how this makes a person feel, a family or a friend. Hate has no place in our society from anyone. It should be condemned for all. immediately or by all. These are the same people, by the way, because many of them are professional protesters. We saw them here in St. Louis after the Stockley verdict. We saw them after Mike Brown. And these are the people that, you know, they made us all feel so guilty because, well, mainly because if you're white, you should have been guilty. But think about the language that was being tossed around in the name of justice, even back then. You have Eric Adams. Even Eric Adams has been out there saying, look, this is abhorrent behavior and language right now, anti-Semitic, but they keep continuing it, and they got AOC and apparently this presidential administration in their corner, which is even more vile and disgusting. After we get you through the weekend, we'll talk more about this on Monday. I do have an audio cut of the day coming up. I have Luke Smallbone, who is a producer and also an actor in this film, Unsung Hero. He and his brother have a great band called King and Country in the Christian world. He's coming up in a second, but I want to talk about my guest at the bottom of the hour because Dan Clues is going to be with me from London, I think. He's an English performer, and he's going to be performing with Phoebe Cates in a Carole King and James Taylor tribute show at City Winery next week, and also Sunday night as Forest Hills Country Club as part of Break Room Concerts. But listen to how good they are here.
You make me feel.
That's Phoebe.
You make me feel like I'm natural.
I think you got Dan Clues coming in here sounding like James Taylor.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina.
So Dan's going to join us. Gonna be late. Can't there across the pond, but you know he's a musician, so I don't think he has a problem with that. He's coming up here in about 20 minutes. That show is going to be spectacular, and hopefully we'll get some people to be inspired to get tickets. City Winery only has a few tickets left, but the Break Room show has a few more for next Sunday night. All right, there is a film called Unsung Hero, which opens today.
How can we say goodbye to everything that we know and love?
This is my last chance. I want to do something that matters.
However you guys feel about being here, we need to pray for everything that we need.
Welcome to Nashville, y'all.
I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. This is our exciting adventure.
Yeah, based on a true story about a family that moves from Australia to Nashville, and they go on to some pretty big things. Luke Smallbone, one of the brothers of that family, he's well known in the Christian music world with his brother and their band King and Country. Their sister is a big star. That's partially what this movie is all about. He's also a producer on the film, and I think you're in town. Luke Smallbone, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk.
Man, I'm good. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me. It's a privilege.
Well, we were a little disappointed, but I know you got a tight schedule because we were hoping that we would get you here in the studio. You're actually in St. Louis, but you're on like this really fast whirlwind tour to promote the movie, right?
We are, man. I literally, the other day, we went up to Louisville for a theater takeover on Tuesday. I think I was on the ground for 3 hours. Went and did like 8 or 9 theaters and left, and I was out of Louisville. I was only on the ground for 3 hours. So it's a little bit the way it is right now. So we're popping in here in St. Louis. We're doing a theater takeover here tonight, and then we'll leave in the morning.
In which theater will you be at tonight? Is it DePere?
What is the theater? Do we know?
I think it's DePere.
Let me say.
Or is some people
Marcus,
like to say Marcus. Des Perez. It looks like it's spelled Des Perez. D-E-S.
Des Perez.
But it's DePere.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there it is.
You know that's right. That's
there's
it.
My pro tip, Luke. Don't say, when you get there, don't say Des Perez. Say DePere. They'll think you're brilliant here in St. Louis, okay?
Hey, I've been hoping my whole life to be called brilliant in St. Louis.
Well, here's, you know, it's interesting. The way that I found out about the film, and I want to spread the word about it, is but a few days ago, I follow Lucas Black on Twitter, mainly because I'm a Mizzou guy. I lived in Columbia, Missouri. You probably know this, but in case you don't, Lucas's home, I think, is only 2 hours down the road in the middle of the state in Columbia. I think he married a Mizzou chick. So I follow him, and he said, I'm going on Newsmax to promote Unsung Hero. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity. I've been wanting to get him on the air because I want to talk truthfully, Luke. I want to talk bass fishing with him and some other stuff because golf, he's big. So I have a little man crush on him. But outside of that, when Lionsgate told us that you and your brother were in town, I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to you. So I don't know much about the film. I'm trying to learn.
Yeah.
Let's start there. The story of your family, right?
That's great. Yeah. So my dad was I'm originally born in Australia. My dad was a concert promoter in Australia, and on one particular tour that he brought back to Australia, the tour didn't go very well, and we ended up losing everything that we had as a family. We lost the house, we lost the car, the life savings, and so my dad was looking for a fresh start for his career. He got a job offer in Nashville, Tennessee, and he thought it would be a good idea to move his six kids and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant at the time, to Nashville, Tennessee. And that's exactly what we did. But soon after we arrived in Nashville, my dad actually lost that job. And so we're stranded on the other side of the world, no friends, no family. We were sleeping on beds made out of clothes. We weren't always quite sure where the next meal was going to come from. We didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital. We didn't have a car. And the list went on and on. And I've actually told that story. My brother and I are in a band called Bikini and Country, and I've told that story at shows for the last 11 or 12 years. I had a bunch of people come up and say, man, Luke, you guys should write a book. And the truth is, Joel and I were homeschooled, so we don't read or write very well. So we thought maybe we could make a movie instead. That's a joke, by the way.
Yes.
But the heartbeat behind the film is this. I believe in the power of family. I think that family is more potent and important today than it ever has been in the history of the world. But we don't value family quite as we should. And Mother Teresa has a wonderful quote where she says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And that's the reason why we made this movie.
So is this a story that is told, do I understand, through the eyes of your mother, Helen?
That's right. Yes, she is. So the movie's called Unsung Hero. She is, not to be a total spoiler alert, but she is the unsung hero. She's the one who kind of held the family, kept the family all together, and still to this day, one that I have the utmost respect for in the way that she's conducted herself and the life that she's lived.
So how old were you in the, give me some age references to the the early 90s, because the film is, and it's a bit of a period piece that way too, isn't it?
That's right. It is. Yeah. So we came over in the early 90s. My oldest sister was, the oldest of the family was 14, and then down to a 2-year-old who was my younger brother, Josh, that was six kids down, you know, it's the six kids in that span. And then my mom was pregnant with the last of the lot at the time as well. So I was nearly, I'm the third youngest in the family. I was nearly 5 years old, if you can believe it. So I was pretty young. The film is mostly, as you mentioned, centers around our mother, but it's really our mother and our father and our older sisters is what most of the story kind of, they kind of carry the film.
5 years old is sort of kind of when you start remembering a little bit of stuff. So you remember that period pretty well yourself?
Oh, yeah. No, it was crazy. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, one of the memories that was probably the most powerful when we arrived in America, obviously, Australia and America are similar, obviously, because we speak English. I've had some people actually ask me, what language do you speak in Australia? That's one of my favorite questions I ever get, by the way. But anyway, but we seem to speak the same language, but the cultures, though, are similar but totally different. You know, if that makes sense, you know, you just do things differently in Australia than what you would in America. And so we come here and, you know, there's a lot of us and, you know, in Australia, you can walk a lot of places. You don't need a car as much. And here, especially in Nashville, I mean, you have to have a car to do everything. So we didn't have a car, but we were new in town. We had a family come to us and say, hey, why don't you come over for Thanksgiving? And we didn't know this family, and we go over for Thanksgiving, and we have a wonderful, wonderful time. I mean, Thanksgiving isn't, you know, most Americans think that, like, Thanksgiving happens around the world. I mean, it's basically Canada and America. They're the only ones who have Thanksgiving. I mean, the rest of the world is literally that ungrateful, all right? And so we go over to Thanksgiving, have a wonderful, wonderful time, and at the end of the night, the father of the household comes to us, and he says, hey, I don't know why, but I just feel compelled to give you the keys to my brand-new car. And I just want you guys to have it. So we experienced all sorts of miracles and generosity and charity when we came to America. And if it wasn't for a lot of those people loving on us and giving to us and supporting us, I don't think we would be here.
Luke Smallbone is my guest. The movie is called Unsung Hero. You talk about, I want to go back to the 90s. I love the 90s. I was kind of, I was in my 30s in the 90s because I'm old. But look, I know that you refer to Catherine Tucker was the art department head. And you say, I saw this in the press notes, that she was kind of the unsung hero of the set. So how do you get the 90s vibes? How did Catherine get those 90s vibes for this film?
Oh, you know, here's what's crazy. Obviously, that's a skill, right? It's an amazing skill for these production designers to come in and take very normal looking places that are updated, and then they'll go and they change things. As you know, the old saying, smoke and mirrors. Obviously, there's all sorts of little tricks that they do. But my favorite was this. There's a house that that we lived in that was kind of set in the film that fell through at the last minute. And so we were looking for this house that felt 90s, that had all the great looks. And we were really struggling because you've got to imagine, you know, you want to get a house that is in the 90s that has all the appliances, all of those types of things. It's very, very difficult to find because basically everybody has remodeled their house in the early 90s. Well, anyway, we put out some feelers, some of the local churches. We were asking, hey, do you know of anybody? And this one guy comes up and says, hey, my mother actually just passed away not that long ago. She was very, very loved, and she kept a meticulous house, but it literally hasn't been changed since I think it was 1989.
Boom. Perfect.
And we were like, no way. And if you walked in there, it was like a time capsule.
Wow.
But here's the thing. It wasn't run down or ruggedy. It was perfect. She kept it in such good condition. Everything was so clean. It was absolutely amazing. So Catherine Tucker, when she walked into that house, she wept. That's how perfect it was.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I want to go back to the cast just a little bit. And I mentioned Lucas. We'll go back to him. But Candace Cameron Bure is someone who a lot of people would know. And there's a little bit of a story. I'm going to play a little of your music here in the background, because I understand there's a story here of how you met Candace and she became a friend. And I think she's even a producer on this film, right?
She is. Yeah, no. So we went and we actually went on to The View when she was up there hosting for her 40th birthday party. The View was like, hey, we're gonna do something really special, and we were one of her favorite bands. And so the View reached out and said, hey, would you guys come up and do a song? You're one of her favorite bands. And we're like, oh, absolutely, we'll do that. And then they said, well, there's another element here. We actually want to bring her daughter out to sing with you as well as a whole nother surprise. And so we went up there, and obviously you can look online, YouTube, but it's a pretty special moment. And she freaks out, and then her daughter comes out, she freaks out again, and we just became good friends. And so we've always kind of like, I don't know how it is in your world, but any really dear friends that I have, I'm always looking for like an excuse to work with them on something. And when this film Unsung Hero came along, we were like, hey, Candace, this is another one of those reasons that we could maybe work together, have an excuse to get to hang out. And so she's been amazing and nothing but a joy to work with.
Well, look, Luke, there's so much more I could probably cover, but you're on a limited time slot, and I am too, but I'm glad that we got you hooked up here. What language do you speak in Australia? Why have you here? Maybe we can circle back.
Yes, apparently Aboriginal is what people think is the native, the language that we speak everywhere, but apparently I'm still trying to speak English, but as I said, I was homeschooled, so it's still a little challenging.
Are you, one final question, I guess, is do you guys, because this is awesome that you got a studio like Lionsgate behind this project, but do you mind, is it pigeonholed a little bit if you say it's a faith-based movie? Or not?
You know, what's funny is, I mean, obviously that's the genre that it's going to be for the most of the people that we communicate to that are going to find familiarity in. But at the end of the day, my opinion is if good art is good art, it speaks to anyone. And that's one of the things we've been hearing back a lot with this film is like, hey, I went in with, you know, thinking it was going to be XYZ.
Right.
But this is just a story about a family that has gone through extraordinary things. And people start saying things like, well, that's like my grandmother who went through this. Or that's like my dad. Or, you know, when I was young, I went through something very, very similar. At the end of the day, everybody is a son or a daughter, a mother or a father. And so this film is very relatable in that regard.
I love it. I just found out, Luke, that I'm going to be a grandfather in September. How about that?
Look at that. Well, congratulations to you, and thanks for taking the time. If you want to go see the movie, go to unsunghero.movie. That's got all. We've also got John Locke from Lost, who's Terry O'Quinn in the film.
He's great.
As well. And you mentioned Lucas and all these guys. So, yeah, it's a pretty special movie, and I hope to see you guys in the theaters.
Well, look, I'm going to try to get Lucas on and still talk about this next week. If you would put the word in for him that I want to talk golf and bass fishing, that would really help me out.
You know what's funny is that is probably the thing that will get him to talk to you.
Well, I know. And I'm so if you wouldn't mind doing that for me, because I love him. I'm a fan. So just keep that in mind. And good luck with the film. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks very much, man. I appreciate you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh my goodness. This is one of my favorite songs, Sue. And we're going to put this in the permanent bump rotation because it wasn't in. But I do get into a James Taylor mode, and I'll listen to this one and Caroline on My Mind all the time. So that is the real James Taylor. But check this out right here. This is someone different. Sounds a lot like James Taylor, though. This is Dan Clues. He's going to be here doing a Carole King James Taylor tribute act next weekend. But check his voice out.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone.
Sounds pretty sweet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
like
nice.
Like Sweet Baby James. And Dan is with us on the phone from Kent, England, outside of London. How are you, Dan? And we look forward to seeing you in St. Louis, Missouri next weekend.
Hey, can't wait to be there.
Well, thanks for jumping on with us. You're going to be at City Winery. I think there's very few tickets left for that. My friend John Lynch put shows on called Break Room Concerts. So you can go to breakroomconcerts.com in Chesterfield next Sunday night at Forest Hills Country Club. And I can't wait to see you. So tell me how this all came together, because you didn't really start doing a James Taylor, Carole King show. I know you do other tribute shows as well. Give us some background, Dan.
I started off doing my own music, and I had a publishing deal with the Beatles producer, Sir George Martin, and I toured my own music for quite a long time, and got a little way with it. But after every show, someone would often say, you sound a bit like James Taylor, and it always came as a bit of a surprise to me, because in my head I sound like Paul Simon. But hearing James Taylor, that's great. Yeah, so I just thought I'd try singing a few songs, and it's really grown from there. So I now do my own music, but I also do this wonderful thing and tour this music all over the world. It's a real blessing.
So did you, my understanding is, because we have City Winery here in St. Louis, which is fantastic. I've only been there one time, but they have a series of them across the country. So was last year, and you always correct me if I get any of these wrong, but did you bring this act to the States for the first time last year? It's more recent, isn't it, Dan?
First visit was actually 2019 to the States.
Okay.
And that was our first City Winery show, was in Nashville. And then we did a show over in California. And it's really grown from there. And this tour has about 12 dates on it. And as you say, one in St. Louis, very few tickets left, but a few left there. And then the Break Room Concerts one. Really, really looking forward to that as well.
And I'll give some people here at the end of the interview some details on Break Room Concerts. You can go to breakroomconcerts.com, and those shows are always for charity, and I'll give you some detail on that. Well, tell us a little bit about Phoebe as well, because Phoebe will be with you doing the Carole King part of this tribute show.
Yeah, well, Phoebe's a real force of nature. She's a phenomenal piano player and a phenomenal singer, and her ability really got her recognized by some of the great musicians out there. There she is.
Yeah. Let's hear it a little bit here.
In my mind,
and you got back here. This is a little bit of a compilation audio there, where you guys sound great together. Yeah. So how does the show work? Do you go back and forth? And I'm guessing there's a little storytelling involved here as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We really delve into the backstory behind James and Carole's career, and how they kind of work together and how they helped each other. And it's a really beautiful show to put together, because it's all about friendship. And it's such a lovely thing to take around. It's just such a nice atmosphere. When it's all about such a positive message.
So you mentioned that you kind of joked that you thought you sounded more like Paul Simon. Do you have your musical roots? I'm always curious with artists, what their roots are, what they listened to when they were a kid, why they decided to do music. What's Dan Clues' story along those lines?
Well, my father was a UK folk player, and he used to play a lot with the guys that when Paul Simon used to visit London, used to play with people like Bert Jansch and John Renbourn and all of those English players. My dad was on that team. So I learned the sort of acoustic guitar from from him, and yeah, so that, and really it's a kind of a natural calling, is that troubadour vocal and guitar style, but really the James Taylor thing found me more than anything.
It
was something that I got highlighted to me before I really had heard it. Someone said, "Oh, actually, you know, this is a bit of a, you've got a timbre like this guy," and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's some great music." So I really delved into took a deep dive into James Taylor, and this is, you know, going back to, you know, 15 years. But yeah, Paul Simon's also a big influence, and I love Paul Simon as well. So yeah, all of those great American songwriters. Jackson Browne's another one.
As do we here. I was going to say Sue and I were definitely in that category for sure, and love all those guys. Have you ever seen James Taylor live?
I haven't.
One time in Columbia, Missouri, I saw him like 30 years
really
ago.
That's really good.
Have you seen him live? I don't even know how much he tours these days.
Yeah, I saw him play in London Hyde Park with Carole King. Actually, that was a really great show. She headlined, and he was playing before her. It was a fabulous show.
Well, what's your? This is another thing I'm always curious about. You have been here to St. Louis, or you have not? Will this be the first time, or the second time, or third?
Second time to St. Louis. So we came in last year, pretty much this time last year, and it was a busy night then as well. But it's looking really good for next week. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, any memories of St. Louis or just impressions? We were always curious about the different perspectives from those of you across the pond. I've been, and I love England, I've been there a couple of times. But obviously, and I just had a conversation with a musician who is from Australia, and he was kind of commenting on the differences in culture between Australia and the States. It's rather stark, even though we all speak the same language.
Yeah, it really is. And it was wonderful. When we arrived in St. Louis last year, there was a big procession right outside our hotel, and loads of amazing marching bands, and you know, that's something I think you guys do amazingly well. It's that kind of school culture of marching bands, and I don't know what it is when they have they're twiddling the stick and they're all it's incredible.
I don't know what that would have been.
I don't either, but that's great.
Some sort of parade or something for sure. Now, this is another cultural difference, but you know, the big thing here in St. Louis, at least until about a year ago when the team started really being bad, is baseball. But usually when we speak with folks from across the pond, they're not really into baseball that much. Would that be you, Dan Clues?
I used to come out and write in Nashville towards the end of October, so I'd always catch the World Series final. And there was a great one when Chicago were playing, and that was in 2016. And Chicago, who was it? Chicago Cubs versus somebody else. And I was trying to get off a plane, and because I had to make a connecting flight, and it was really nice. Everyone parted to let me off. And as I left the plane, I was like, come on, the Cubs. And I got a massive cheer. It was really fun.
Right. But here's
I do enjoy watching.
It was Cleveland, I think, that they played in 20. But here's the thing, Dan. We're going to help you out here. When you come here to St. Louis, there's only one thing that I would advise you to not say, and that's go Cubs. Okay. You say that, you're in big trouble in St. Louis, okay? So if you can avoid that, you're going to be a huge success at City Winery. You don't even really need to say go Cards. You just have to make sure you don't say go Cubs.
When I said go Cubs, I meant go Cards.
Yes, no, exactly. Well, that's great. So are you, you're still there in England. By the way, we appreciate you staying up late. Although when Fred was telling me that you were going to do the interview, the truth be told, sometimes we tape these, especially if it's more convenient for the, you know, the person that's in a different country. But we also thought, well, you're a musician, right? Sure. You're working long hours anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's no problem at all. Yeah, I'm a night owl, and that's our company name as well.
That's Night Owl Show. So let me just ask you a little bit, because you do some other tribute acts, don't you? Can you tell us anything more about that?
Yeah, so we've got a company called Night Owl Shows. We have about 14 different productions that have kind of all grown really from this James Taylor and Carole King show. We've done a Joni Mitchell show, and we do a really lovely one about the California sort of scene called California Dreams, which is about Laurel Canyon in the 70s. We do a Billy Joel show and an Elton John show. We take them to fringe festivals, which are big arts festivals, the biggest of which is actually Edinburgh, but we do one in Australia. We do a couple in Australia, actually, back to back, and these festivals are great. We especially Edinburgh, we run shows from 12 noon till 10 o'clock at night, and we have them sold out all day. And you do that 7 days a week, and people come. So wow. It's an amazing thing. Edinburgh Fringe is an incredible festival, and you have there's 3,000 shows a day happening a day at that festival, and a lot of them are full. It's really well supported. The third biggest ticketed event in the world after the Olympics and the World Cup. Football.
Is he really?
Oh yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dan,
I'm going to guide people. I'm going to guide people into the shows here and talk a little bit about the charity aspect. But thank you so much for jumping on with us. And I'm going to be at the Sunday night show for sure at Break Room Concerts. John is a friend, and he's great. You're going to love the crew, and we're going to get some 97.1 FM Talk listeners to show up that night as well. But thank you so much. I look forward to seeing the show next week with you and Phoebe.
Big thanks to you, and also big thanks to John for having us over at Break Room. We're really looking forward to that show.
We can't wait. Thank you, Dan. Take care. See you in a week.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
So City Winery, so have you yet been there?
Nope.
Great, great place. You know, everybody,
where is
it's
it?
Very intimate. It's right down here by, you know, the Armory and all that. I loved it the one time that I was there, and I'm going to see John Hyatt in a couple of weeks there in mid-May. But you've heard me talk about the Break Room. Some of this was started in John's living room, but then he kind of expanded it to another facility, a building that he owned, and now it's basically at Forest Hills Country Club. So you just have to go to breakroomconcerts.com. You'll see right on the front page. I would guide you into a couple different shows. There is a lovely singer-songwriter and actually another couple, Liz Longley and Barnaby Bright, and they're coming in on August 8th. You'll see details about their show. You don't want to miss that one either. But this one is coming up next Sunday. So the City Winery show is on Saturday. On Sunday, a lot of tickets available for this one. So if you want to jump in, Sue, you and Fred need to be there.
Mm.
Go to breakroomconcerts.com. This is also for I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. It's the Neonatal Progeroid Foundation.
Huh.
There is a mom in Chesterville that has a child with that particular disability. My friend John says, think Benjamin Button. Severe aging in childhood. There's not a lot that is known about that particular disease. They're trying to, you know, get people aware and raise some money. And this mother, Leslie McCarry, is the number one expert for people around the world. And she's lobbied WashU successfully to begin research on that particular disease. So the money, the proceeds from this show actually go to that organization. When Break Room concerts take place, they're always for charities. And John puts on some amazing shows, whether it's our friend Anthony D'Amato, the brothers McCann, Lee Coulter's a guy that's been in the studio with me, Martin Sexton, who's one of the best. I was listening to John Mayer's station yesterday, and John Mayer's a guy that credits this guy, Martin Sexton, as being one of his influences.
Interesting.
He's a brilliant guitar player.
Wow.
So, and the unique thing about it is it's a very intimate setting. You're going to be in a room with this tribute act next week, next Sunday night, and it's a lot of fun. You'll meet some people. There's some food and drink. Well, mainly drink. I don't know. I better not sell the food aspect because I'm not particularly positive on that. Breakroomconcerts.com. Check it out. Hope to see you there on Sunday. I'm making the Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer be there, Sue, so
I might
wrangle you as well.
All right.
All right, we'll see.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So you and I have been watching a little bit this afternoon. We have the monitors here in the studio on Fox News, and there's this pretty incredible video of a tornado that's moving across part of Nebraska.
It's nuts.
And it's a big twister, and people are pulled over, and there's several cars that are moving toward it and just taking video images of it.
Man.
And it looks like a pretty significant tornado, and I don't know what kind of damage it provided in its wake.
Can't
we do
be
have
good.
Storms that are moving through St. Louis. You know, this reminded me, and I'm still struggling with my daughter, who, like, when it was raining this morning and I took her to school, she said, this is fine. You know, I don't mind this, but she got freaked out a couple years ago during a legitimate thunderstorm. The sirens went off. She had to go to our neighbor's house to get the keys to our house because the power was out and the garage door wouldn't open. So she gets this in her head. And Sue, I'm not even making this up. Yesterday morning, and there was no rain really in the picture for yesterday, but she was in a very, she was in a very emotional mood. And these things are going to probably happen more and more as she gets older, just with hormones, et cetera. But she starts going on this tangent. And I just let her go at this point because what are you going to do? She's like, I don't like this. I see the clouds. It's going to rain. And then eventually she goes, and then it's going to be the Joplin tornado. I'm like, wait
a
second.
That's a leap.
How do we, yeah. And first of all, I don't even know. They've taught her, I guess, in school about the Joplin tornado. And it's interesting because some of the books that she brings home, and I'm keeping an eye out for indoctrination. I'm not really seeing that. I love Rockwood. I love my school. I don't want to get any impression that's wrong there. But,
no, but you should. That's there your
was,
job.
Right. But there's a book that she brought home about, and it was a graphic novel. These are really big with the kids, obviously.
Oh, so okay.
It had pictures. And I'm not even sure exactly what the book was about, but one of the backstories of the book was a guy that had a lot of concussions when he was young playing football. And so the whole story and the theme that she got from the book is basically you shouldn't play football when you're younger.
Okay.
And there was some other thing because of concussions. And I'm not even sure that that was what the book was about. And I'm thinking, wait a second, why is that a theme for a
that
third
does
grader?
Seem a little odd.
Although I don't know if they're trying to keep you know, boys who are third graders from playing football. It's just interesting what the kids extract from
really
different
is.
Pieces. Two things before we get to audio cut of the day. One on politics, one on comedy. The New York Post published an interesting story this morning, Sue, about a plan that did not work. It was essentially a coup to oust Karine Jean-Pierre from the White House.
What?
Top aides to President Biden secretly hatched a plan this past fall to replace KJP by recruiting outside allies to nudge her out the door. Jean-Pierre made history, this is the New York Post, in May of 22 by becoming the first black and first openly gay person to hold the position, had developed the exasperating habit of reading canned answers directly from a binder to reporters at her regular briefings, offering what her superiors viewed as a less than compelling pitch for the 81-year-old Biden. De facto White House communications chief Anita Dunn, the wife of Biden personal attorney Bob Bauer, told colleagues she had decided to call in the prominent Democrats to explain to Jean-Pierre that the time was ripe to move on. Now, if we're being honest,
interesting.
What's funny is I remember even in the summer of 2022, I thought I made a prediction. Keep in mind, my predictions are always wrong, that she wasn't going to last very long because she's just horrible. But they can't fire her, and she knows that. And
man.
Basically, that's what the David Strom at Hot Air wrote about this, said, Jean-Pierre has no skills. Yeah. She has the right DNA and sexual preference, and that's it. Not to mention that voters fit her demographic. Black, Haitian, lesbians of modest intelligence are a lock for the president. He has their votes, I would assume. So the source in the Post story said there were a number of people she asked to engage. Karine, you know, there were other people that kind of got involved in this.
Well, how
but
did
they couldn't
well,
do
like
it.
An intervention? You need to leave, even though whenever she says things like, "Let me be clear, Peter."
They say there was an effort to have some outside folks who she knows and trusts to talk to her about leaving and why it would have made a sense, but apparently it just didn't happen.
Wow.
But it's unusual. Outside of the quality or the skill that someone holds in that position, and by the way, no matter what I think of Jen Psaki, I think she was pretty good in that role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like her politics at all. But typically, there's not a long life, especially if your president is Donald Trump. It is
Jeez.
A lot, but they don't last very long. So I'm not sure, you know, how long she lasts, but, you know, would you see some change this year because of the election? Probably not. Unless she's got a book deal, and she could have a book deal. You know, I'm not even joking because that's typically what happens. And this is on the comedy front. I thought this was interesting. There is, you know who Graham Bessinger is? I think that's how you pronounce his name.
No.
He's a British guy that does show podcasts, but he sat down with Jerry Seinfeld, and it's coming out this weekend. And one of the teasers for this is a story that he talks about at a comedy set 30 years ago in Boston. And he says, I had this amazing bit about weddings. It was fantastic. It was so long. It covered everything. I worked on it. It takes me forever. Seinfeld explained how comedians sometimes spend years honing jokes, testing out bits, refining them until they feel that they've perfected something. I start onto the bit and somebody else heard it. And that was a tough one. I still think about it. It was mean. It was true. And what that resonated with me from this perspective, I've seen Seinfeld in concert twice.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen him once.
So, but what was interesting about seeing him twice is both times I saw much of the same material.
Ah, okay.
So
was it years later in between?
Yes.
Okay.
At least 3 years.
Ooh.
But a lot of the material was the same in recent. Now, I get what he's saying about perfecting the bits and everything.
Right.
But I also understand what the guy in the audience was saying because, you know, sometimes, I don't know who would be a good example of this, because Chappelle does all kind of new stuff, right?
Yeah,
there are a lot of comedians,
for sure.
They'll have their set, and then they do their set for a year, 2 years, and then they move on, and they create their next set. So
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward. I do like to hear Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's going on tour. Maybe I should know this. He seems to be having a resurgence right
he
now.
He does.
He was in, you know, the last couple episodes of Curb, but there's a lot of attention on Jerry right now. Okay, before we leave, one more thing.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, you know, candidly, Sue, I think you heard me talking about this before the mic was on. I don't have a lot here, you know, for audio cut. It's been one of those Fridays that has not had a lot. But here it is. I'm going to give you a five-second bite from the President of the United States with Howard Stern today. You ready?
I'm ready.
He was on Howard's show.
Okay.
That's all it is.
All right.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to debate him.
Uh-huh.
Well,
right.
If it was any more than 5 seconds, he wouldn't know what he was talking about. But I can't wait if that's really going to happen.
Oh, come on.
Trump had to come out of his trial licking his chops today thinking that there's a possibility for that. We'll see. I don't think it happens.
No.
Sue, have a great weekend.
You too, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.